Wake up! Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You are now listening to You and Me at 30. I'm your host, Dr. Joshua K. Wright. I realize that you could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I sincerely appreciate that. You and Me at 30 is a talk show bringing you lively, thought-provoking discussion on a variety of topics. Each show will feature an extended conversation with a guest. While many of these individuals will come from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and the local community, I will also feature several guests from around the country. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of 91.3 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Determined to live life on his own terms and get up every day excited about what he was doing, today's guest wrote an award-winning book, How I Quit a $100,000 Job a Year, that was featured in the Washington Post. The book describes how he turned his passions into a six-figure income. His second book, 52 Things I Did to Quit My Job and Build a $1 Million Company, is the sequel, and it details how he built that $1 million company. J.R. Fenwick is a proud graduate of Hampton University in Virginia. He graduated with a nursing pre-med degree. After finishing school and working in a hospital in corporate America, his entrepreneurial spirit took over, leading him on an incredible, life-changing journey on which he now uses to inspire others. Mr. Fenwick founded and is CEO of FlipThatStock.com and HoldThatStock.com, a leading education and technology company that teaches people how the stock market works and how to utilize cutting-edge technology to make money flipping and holding stocks. Mr. Fenwick, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, it's great to be on your show. I'm looking forward to sharing the information.
Great, great. And I just want to make one correction. The name of your first book was called How I Quit My $100,000 a Year Job. I think I messed that up slightly in the very beginning, so I wanted to make sure I had the correct title on there. So to get started, what specific position in the medical field did you have after you graduated from Hampton?
Well, like you mentioned in the intro, I graduated from Hampton with a nursing pre-med degree. Okay. And from there, I went on to work in a hospital in the capacity of an RN with the intention of going on to medical school or dental school. But while I was in the hospital, I was like, you know, this isn't really what I want to do. I always had this entrepreneurial spirit. And so I ended up leaving the hospital. And then I went on into pharmaceutical sales, medical equipment, and diagnostic sales, and into diagnostic consulting, where I would help open up diagnostic centers and manage them and market them. And so that was kind of my path, you know, directly out of school and the years after school. But simultaneously, I was working on my passions. But that's how this whole journey kind of got started.
How many years were you involved doing the pharmaceutical sales and working at the hospital?
About 13 or 14 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, after I got out of school, I worked in the hospital a couple years, about a year, and then went to actually the largest pharmaceutical company in the world at that time, mm-hmm. still one of the biggest, and then just kept progressing from there. But I had two parallel tracks going, because as I was doing the corporate gig, I was always doing something on the side, or as we say, our side hustle, mm-hmm. and pursuing my passions. And so that's kind of how, you know, these tracks went. And at some point, they were parallel, but then they started coming towards each other, and a decision had to be made as to whether I would stay in corporate or really go after, you know, building my own company and pursuing my passions.
What was that specific moment where you realized that, hey, I'm not really living up to my fullest potential here in the corporate world? I need to make this change. What was it that, you know, made that click for you? You knew you had to, like, make the move right then.
Well, you know, most people looking from the outside in would be like, okay, this guy, you know, I worked my way up to six figures, company, car, and, you know, the suits. But inside, I wasn't happy. I wasn't excited getting up every day. And so this really started after about the third or fourth year being in corporate. And I probably stayed 7 years too long, like many people do. But fortunately, I was very, very young at the time. But that's when it hit. It's just like, I'm just not happy, and I just don't want to do this. And so literally one day I just wrote on a piece of paper what all my passions were, and I said, I'm going to start figuring out a way to make some money, just build some little businesses off of these different passions I had. And the first one that I did was I had been playing guitar since I was age 7. I always wanted to make a record. They called it a record back then. And so I just started taking my bonus checks from my pharmaceutical job and building a recording studio. I started building the studio, and then one day my brother comes over and sees I have all this equipment. He said, hey, man, why don't you let people come in and produce demo tapes for them? I was like, I never thought about that. So I started doing that, and that's how I started making money, and a lot of money doing that. And so that's where it just kind of skyrocketed from there.
So when you made this switch, did you have a wife or kids or anything that was, you know, kind of maybe tying you down a little bit or make you think, well, this isn't a good idea for me to give up this lucrative job?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I started, I wasn't married, but along the way I got married to my college girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And we had kids, I'd say, about 3 years after we got married. But by that time, I was full swing into my studio, into my passion, into my dream. And of course, when I said, hey, I'm leaving this corporate job, not only did she kind of look at me funny, but friends and everybody else were looking at me funny, and family members, because only 6% of the world population right now makes $100,000 or more. And I was doing that way back when. So okay. For somebody to say you're going to give that up, they're like, you must be crazy.
Yeah.
But I knew I could make that being my own boss and more. I just knew I could. And so I had to do it.
When did you write the first book?
The first book, I wrote it in like 2004, 2005, I think it was, right around that time.
Mm-hmm. And was this around the same time when you were running the record studio, or did you already launch the other business by that point?
No. I was running my recording studio at that time.
Okay.
And when I left corporate America, that's what I dove into full time. Me and some partners had actually opened up 3 studios.
Wow.
And yeah, and so we just dove in. It was our passion. We loved doing it. None of us went to school for it. We just stayed up all night reading books and going to music stores and just learning from just diving in and immersing ourselves in it. And so, yeah, Flip That Stock, I didn't start that until 2013, 2014.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So in terms of location, you know, you launched this record studio. Where are you right now, like geographic-wise?
So geographically, I'm in the D.C. metro area.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, all my buddies and us put together these studios. But we had, as word got out, we had clients coming in from across the country to record in our studios. The craziest was I had someone come from California to record in my studio. And I'm like, they got studios on every corner in California. And they're like, no, we heard about you. We heard about your reputation. And, you know, we want to record in your studio. So it was kind of crazy. But I tell people, be careful when you start going after your dreams and your goals, because it might just happen. and if you stick with it long enough, it will. But there's going to be some bumps in the roads. And that's where most people quit. They're not willing to take the bump in the road. But if you really want it, you can't let go of it.
So your second book, 52 Things I Did to Quit My Job and Build a $1 Million Company. So this company you're referring to, is this the stock company?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Flip That Stock. So the question becomes, how did I go from the studio into the stock market? Was that a passion of yours? No, I knew nothing about the stock market. What happened was, after I graduated from Hampton, I'm working in a hospital. My best friend from school calls me up and says, hey, man, I just became a stockbroker. Send me some money. I'm going to make you a whole lot of money. I'm like, okay. So I send him some money, and they had the worst stock market crash in history at that time, right after I sent him the money. So he lost all my money. So now you can imagine how I felt about the stock market and being involved. But I had no education on it. So years later, I'm looking for a piece of music equipment for my studio, and I meet a guy. And we become the best of friends. He has a studio like me. I buy this equipment from him. And a couple years after I meet him, out the blue, he says, hey, man, you trade in the stock market. I'm like, I don't trade in the stock market. I'm not interested in the stock market. And he just, every time we get together, you got to learn the stock market. You can't be a real businessman if you don't know the stock market. Everything flows to the stock market. And this just went on for 2 years. And then I was listening, and it was making sense. But this go round, I said, I'm going to really learn how this thing works. And that's when I immersed myself in it, same way I did with my studio. And I just became fascinated that people can make money like this. It just blew my mind. And so that's how I got into it. And then I wanted to start a little club, if you will, with some of my friends. Because we get together every week and we talk about the stock market and go in and trade and invest in stocks. And so I started telling my friends. They start telling other people what I'm doing. And all these people start asking me to teach them and this, that, and the other. And so that I started the company. I was watching Flip That House one day. I said, I'm doing the same thing they're doing, except I'm doing it with stock market, okay. Stocks. So I'm going to call it Flip That Stock. And now in the past 5 years, we've grown to having members all across the country and into Canada. So we're technically an international company now, all from just this idea that came in my head. And I followed through and just developed this passion and just kept going and kept going. And it's something that I love doing. Yes, that's how it all came about.
Was it a long process to really educate yourself on how it works?
My buddy who initially started kept asking me I got to learn it. He started teaching me. And then as crazy as it sounds, one night I couldn't sleep. And I get up at 4 a.m. I make a sandwich. I turn the TV on. There's an infomercial about a stock market seminar coming to town that was free. And I knew they were going to try and sell me something. But I said, I'm going to go to that, too. I go to that. I knew what the guy was saying was true because my buddy had already been teaching me. So I end up buying all their stuff, their software, their programs, everything. And I just started, again, immersing myself in it. Over time, it was years that I just was trying all these different things and learning and trying to figure out my own little system, too. And one of the things about me, by being in healthcare and working in hospital, you have to really learn stuff quickly and be able to break it down to a patient in very simple terms. Mm-hmm. So I developed the skill of taking complex information and really breaking it down very, very quickly. And so all this information that I take now, I can break down to people very quickly and they can start learning in literally a month or two and less how this thing really works, step by step by step.
So let me ask you this. I'm a history professor here at University of Maryland Eastern Shore. And mm-hmm. in my U.S. history survey course, we talk about the Great Depression and, you know, we learn about the stock market crash. And then we, you know, later on, we get into the Great Recession and the housing bubble and all of those different things. And, mm-hmm. From studying, you know, those incidents and also from, you know, looking at the depiction of the stock market in Hollywood through films such as Wall Street or Boiler Room, you get this, I don't know, somewhat tainted image of the stock market. And, you know, it seems very risky to get involved in it and to mm-hmm. really invest your money. So I want to ask you, because you said when you mm-hmm. started out, you gave your money to a friend and then it was, a downturn in the market and he lost all of your money. So mm-hmm. what are like the biggest myths exist today in regards to getting involved in the stock market and the risk that you'll have to take if you want to start investing or trading?
So people think that, you know, the stock market is gambling. No, it's not. The stock market is not gambling when you know what you're doing. Gambling is going in the stock market when you don't know what you're doing. Then it is gambling. People think that you have to have a license or a degree or a certificate in order to buy and sell stocks for yourself. Not true. So that keeps a lot of people out. They think that you have to be rich. Well, I got to be rich to get involved. No, maybe people got rich by getting in the stock market. You know, if you look at all these companies like Amazon and Jeff Bezos and Microsoft and Bill Gates, they got rich by getting in the stock market. Their wealth comes from their stock ownership in their companies. So you don't have to be rich to get involved. Another one is it's just too complicated. Learning to drive a car is far more complicated than learning how to trade and invest in the stock market. When you're taught by the right person and you're willing to invest your time, energy, and money into learning, you got to learn it, get committed to it, and it is not hard. People just, it's not. It just, I mean, that's the one thing that it just amazes me. But I get it. When you see all this stuff on TV and on the computer, it looks complicated.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to UMES 30. Today's guest is financial investment guru J.R. Fenwick. Mr. Fenwick is also the award-winning author of two books, How I Quit My $100,000 a Year Job, and also 52 Things I Did to Quit My Job and Build a $1 Million Company. What do you think about E-Trade and similar companies?
E-Trade is a fine company. You can go open an account at E-Trade, put $1,000 in or more, and you still don't know what you're doing. You're relying on them to do it. And I hear this all the time. I gave my money to a broker, just like I did when I first started, didn't know what was going on. Or I gave my money to a financial planner. And if they make you money, you're excited, but you still don't know how they did it. Mm-hmm. And if they lose money, you're upset. And you lost twice because you paid them and you paid them to lose money. Mm-hmm. And they come back a lot of times and say, well, you know, the market just didn't do what we thought it was going to do. You never, ever, ever lose when you educate yourself on something, even if you're going to have somebody else do it for you. So it's the same way with these brokerage firms. You have to understand which brokerage firm is best for you. Do they have hidden fees? Do they have brokerage fees? Do they have platforms? Do they have apps? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So you have to know what you're doing and what best fits you.
So my next question, how have advancements in technology affected the stock market and people's ability to buy and sell stocks?
Oh, man, this is one of the most exciting parts of investing and trading. Back when I was opening my recording studio, and it was like we use these big reel-to-reel tapes, and then I was there when it advanced, and you could make a whole record on your laptop. Now you can do it on your phone. So the same type of thing is happening with advances in technology and trading and investing. You can use your laptop, you can use your tablet, you can use your smartphone, you can get instant access to the same type of information that the professionals are getting on Wall Street. And the beautiful part about this that I love the most is that it's portable. I can do it from anywhere. I can be sitting on a beach on vacation and trade, flip, invest in stocks. I can monitor my portfolio by just pulling my phone out and looking at it. Once I'm educated, I know what to look for and how to set it up. So the advances in technology have been incredible. I mean, really incredible.
Is there a difference between investing and trading?
Yes. When you buy a stock and you hold it for 1 year or longer, that's called investing. Mm-hmm. And people who invest are looking down the road, college, retirement, vacation, things like that. Trading is buying and selling a stock in a shorter period of time, which could be months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, even seconds.
What are four key terms that anyone interested in investing or trading should have in their vocabulary?
Well, we went over two. They really need to know the difference between investing and trading, which we just talked about. Two other ones are, you know, it's a bull market. A lot of people don't know, what does an animal got to do with the stock market? Or it's a bear market. Yeah. So a bull market means that overall the stocks are going up. You know, and increasing in value. And the reason they say that is because a bull, when it attacks, it lowers its head and then comes up. A bear market, overall, the stock market is coming down. And they use a bear because the bear gets up on its hind legs and comes down to attack. So that's why they call it a bear market. So knowing these terms, you know, investing, trading, bull market, bear market, and one other phrase, the trend is your friend. So if you see it's a bull market, you want to hop onto that trend. If it's a bear market, you can hop onto that trend and use those. So those are just a couple. It's a lot more, but it's about 20 terms you'll get to know, and they're not hard.
So what would you say is the key to making money versus losing money on the stock market?
The key is don't focus on the money. Focus on the process. You learn the process. The process is what gets you to the money.
And the number one reason why people tend to lose money is because they're not, like you said, they're not focused on the process and they're not educating themselves properly.
Yep. Not focused on the they're focused on the money. They're not focused on the process. And, you know, they're not unwilling to invest the time to learn it and practice it. Everybody, we live in a I want it right now society and mentality. And if people really grasp onto this three-step process, I don't care what you're doing. It's learn it, practice it, do it. I don't care what it is. It didn't have to be the stock market. That's the formula. Learn it, practice it, do it. And then you can get to your desired result.
For our listeners who want to get started, you said step one is to learn it. So what sources should they be using to get started in terms of the learning process?
It's just like, you know, you're a college professor. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of colleges in the United States and around the world that people can attend. So what you want to do is you want to look for an educational course that fits you and your personality, meaning the way the information is broken down and explained and demonstrated and things of that nature. So the first thing is find an educational course that you would be comfortable with and get a mentor and a coach. If you look at any highly successful person, guaranteed they had a mentor or a coach somewhere in their life that helped them go along that path and help them stay away from the pitfalls. And if they did fall in a pitfall, you know, you pull yourself out. And then be willing, and this is just the honest truth, be willing to invest your time and your money into learning. Just like when you go to college, you got to invest your time, for your money for tuition and your time to show up for class and learn. It's no different here, but it is a quicker route nowadays because of technology. We can put the information online, do screen shares and demonstrations and things of that nature. But those are that would be my advice to your listening audience.
So you would say, we started this conversation by talking about how you went to Hampton and then you had, you know, one career and then you decided to leave that and then you go into the record studio and then you start this company. One of the main things that I'm taking away from this conversation is that you're someone who wasn't afraid to follow their dreams and to follow their passions. Mm-hmm. And I would say that you would probably tell me you made the right decision, I assume, right?
1,000,000,000%. No regrets. Absolutely none. See, the thing is, how bad do you want it? I couldn't stand having somebody tell me how much money I could make. As far as I know, we only have one life on this planet. I want to live my life the way I want to live it, and I'm willing to do the work to get to where I want to be. Now, if it doesn't work out, the only person I can look at is me. I can't blame my boss, my coworker. I got to look myself in the mirror, and I'm okay with that. But there is nothing like getting up in the morning and have complete freedom to design your day and have unlimited income possibilities. I didn't say guaranteed income. I said unlimited income possibilities and opportunities. If you talk to people who are financially free and wealthy, they're always looking for opportunities. They're not looking for no guaranteed paycheck because that's limited. I'm into opportunities and possibilities, and I take calculated risk to get to where I want to do. And then I dig my heels in, and I do the work, and I'm willing to pay for coaches and mentors to show me how to do this thing.
You know, how do you overcome that fear of leaving my comfort zone to, mm-hmm. you know, like obviously you're pursuing your passion, but at the same time, mm-hmm. you are leaving a comfort zone to, in some ways, pursue something that's unknown or something that's going to be different.
Right. Right. No, I had fear. And in my first audiobook, I talk about these two concepts of good fear versus bad fear. And this is where I talk about, I was on the TV show Showtime at the Apollo years ago, which is the original talent show that many of the great legends went through. And so I always wanted to play on Showtime at the Apollo. And so, you know, back then they didn't have the internet and all that. So I called up there. I asked a lady about being on the show. And she said, okay, we're going to put, she said, what state are you from? I said, Maryland. She said, you're automatically on the show. I was like, what? And the bad fear kicked in. Like, oh, man, what if I get booed off? What if all my friends see me on TV and this doesn't work out? That was the bad fear. But then the good fear kicked in and beat the bad fear down, which was, well, wait a minute. If I don't want to be 80 and 90 years old sitting in a rocking chair talking about I should have, could, I wish I had. I don't want to have any regrets. I'm just going to do it. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. At least I tried. And so when you look at the most successful people in the world, they failed the most. And at some point, they just don't care what other people think. It's like, I'm just going to do it. It's my life, and I'm just going to do it. And that's kind of my attitude now. It's like, I don't care what people think. I'm going to do it. Now I got all these people who were in corporate America who wish they had left coming to me. And it's usually when they get laid off or something they get fired or something's happening or they don't get the promotion and they're like, and they want me to turn their life around in one day. It doesn't work like that. First, it starts with your mindset and saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to design the life I want.
Well, Mr. Fenwick, this has been a very, very interesting conversation. How do listeners find your books, or if they want to, you know, learn more about your company, are there websites they should be going to?
Yeah, so they can go to Flip That Stock, F-L-I-P, flipthatstock.com. As far as the books, they're on the website as well. The book, 52 Things I Did to Quit My Job, Build a $1 Million Company, has not come out yet. It's going to come out probably in the third quarter of this year. And we've got a really interesting twist on how we're putting that out. So we're very excited about that.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it.
We end each show with a segment called Parting Shots. Here I give my thoughts on something happening in the news, pop culture, or life in general. This piqued my interest. By now, many of you have heard about the pledge made by billionaire investor Robert E. Smith to pay the student loans for the entire class of 2019 at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. Smith is the founder, chairman, and CEO of private equity firm Vista Equity Partners. In 2018, Smith was ranked by Forbes magazine as the 163rd richest person in America. He surpassed Oprah Winfrey as the nation's wealthiest African American. Smith's pledge to pay the loans of Morehouse's 400 graduates will cost him $40 million. Morehouse, for those of you not familiar with the school, was the nation's most prestigious all-male, historically black university. Now, on average, black students graduate from college with more than $7,400 in loan debt in comparison to their white counterparts. My cousin Joshua Reed of Alexandria, Virginia, was a member of the Morehouse 2019 graduating class. He made the following comments about Mr. Smith's incredible gift. I knew my brothers were going to start their respective fields burdened by debt for 10 to 20 years. This was an issue for all my friends, and it hurt me because it was like, I can't help you with this. You get survivor's guilt because you're not struggling with this. What Robert F. Smith gave us was freedom. You don't have to worry about Sallie Mae or another loan agency knocking at your door. Smith said that the bar is high and the charge to pay it forward applies to everyone. At Morehouse, this has generally meant mentorship and community service rather than monetary donations. But that's already changing. My friends, said Joshua, have already made a pledge to raise $100,000 by the age of 32. I think across the board, all of us are going to do something, and I'm included in that number. And this is our show for the week. Thanks again to our guests today. We do this every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. Like us on Facebook and other forms of social media. A special shout out, as always, to Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv. Have a blessed day.
UMES 30 is produced in the studios of 91.3 WESM, located on the campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Listen to this or any past episode of UMES 30 by logging on to WESM913.org or through the NPR One app available for download on Google Play. The views and opinions expressed on UMES 30 are not necessarily those of 91.3 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.